Again, everyone, good morning. And for you, again, I'm grateful for our live stream audience. I know I address them quite often, but I know that they're very engaged, and we want to make sure we will be having communion at the end of my message. And so please get your communion elements. Matter of fact, we just had a dear couple, second week in a row, they've been watching online. That's probably why so many of you are watching online. People want to discover a church, want to see what's going on. So that's how many of them, and we're grateful for this dear couple. I hope they get a chance for you to meet them, but they traveled in and settled in and bought property here from Washington, and so a delightful couple, but they followed us online. And so we want to welcome you one day for a fresh personal face-to-face visitation. Would you just go ahead and thank them? They're going to come. Let's by faith just say, you come. Well, let's go ahead and make sure you have your bulletin card, and let's make notes. Hope you have something to write. And if you would even take, if this is your first time here at Hope Chapel, maybe scan that QR code with your smartphone, which means you just hold up your camera to it, and it brings up and fill out any information. We'd love to make sure we get a chance to be better acquainted with you as well, please. That would be wonderful. Well, as you know, we are in the midst of a series. So that series is entitled Living Beyond Our Setbacks. Living Beyond Our Setbacks. We are looking at part four today. And we are going to continue on next week, which is, by the way, Mother's Day, men. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And in honor of prepping us for Mother's Day, before I launch into the message, heard a cute one, how a young girl watching her mother wash dishes and noticed she had a number of gray hairs coming out of her wonderful brunette hairdo, and asked her mother, "Mother, why do you have certain white hairs coming out of your hairdo?" And so she said, "Oh, sweetie, that only appears whenever you do something wrong or make me cry or make me unhappy. They start to appear." And she said, "Oh," she was shocked. So she said, Mom, why then does grandmother have all white hair?" Well, then one other one. Heard a cute one. Stranger went up to the pastor after church service. Said, "Oh, pastor, can you pray for my hearing?" "Oh, pastor, oh, yeah, certainly." Puts his hands on both ears, prays fervently with all sincerity, drops his hands. "How's your hearing now?" The guy was shocked. He said, "Well, the hearing's tomorrow." Some of you know what I mean by that. I know it, huh? Yeah, that'll teach you. Today's message is entitled Living Beyond Pride. That's where we're going. I want to thank you. Many of you have been addressing, and some of our life group leaders, thank you for great leadership. We really want everybody to get into a small group where you can work through some of these things. We've dealt with overcoming, living beyond grief, living beyond insecurities. Today is really a big one. Pride is really probably the most toxic element that causes tremendous barriers in not only the life of people, but also in our relationship with God. And as we take a look, I want to just address, because the English language is very limited on its words. There are words that are used for multiple different reasonings and definitions, and pride is one of them. So let me just describe the good pride. In that word, pride is really the reference where we feel a good sense of feeling over achievements or somehow satisfaction because goals have been set and met for not only ourselves but for others. That's a good pride. When I say I'm proud of you, that's a good thing. That means I believe in you. That means you're going to do well, and so it's going to be great. The bad pride that we're talking about, that God's word says avoid, is dealing with the area that does not build anybody up. It tears other people down. It's always self-focused, self-interest. That bad pride will continue to really disrupt so much of our society, and we see a lot of that. where people do not want to give way for other people's opinions. They feel like this is my feelings, my truth, I'm right, and people have a real disruption in their society. And it really, because we always would feel threatened of self. So this is the way I'm going to go about it. If you don't like it, lump it. Bad pride causes a real problem. So pride is destructive. And that's why when we take a look at this, we're wanting to live, move beyond pride. And in case you're saying, well, I'm not quite sure where we land on pride. I'm not even sure if it's very destructive. We always want to go on the Word of God. So let's do that, because we talked about hearing ears. Let's let the Lord allow us to hear. Father, open up our understanding. We really do like it when we just are not better educated, but we see our lives really transformed and others are benefited because you're bringing a blessing now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, write down a number of verses I'm just going to throw up there so you can see, really, the destruction that pride will bring. Proverbs 11, verse 2, pride leads to disgrace. Proverbs 11, 2. Also, Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, pride leads to conflict. It's probably what we see happening. Conflict always, not only nations with nations, it always starts with somebody's little injury of their pride. And then Proverbs 16, verse 8, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Another one you want to write down, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, pride ends in humiliation. We have Proverbs 14, verse 3, that says a fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him. And then I like James chapter 4, and we'll get back to James 4. But in James 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud. Boy, we don't want anything to separate our relationship with God. This is a big deal here. And then finally, back to Proverbs chapter 6, says there are six things that the Lord hates. No, seven things. He detests haughty eyes. And that New King James means a proud look. Now, I put the emphasis, not haughty eyes. I just thought, in case you're listening on home, that's proud look, proud look. You all have nice eyes. I just, in a good way, you smile when I say that. Okay. So you can see the tremendous barrier that pride really can have in our lives personally. But it's going to be important because we want to take a look at that and help develop our awareness. Watch out, watch out. Number one in your notes, we all struggle with pride. We all struggle with pride. And there is two areas, foundational areas that Jesus says, remember, and that's in Mark chapter 12, 30, 31, that we are to love God with all of our strength, everything we have, and to love our neighbors. And I'm telling you, pride dissolves our attempts and abilities to do both. How? Letter A, pride in our relationships with God. Pride. Now, where did that begin? Well, you can write down Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. Remember when this serpent went to Eve and said, yeah, God didn't really mean when you eat that thing that you're going to die, because God knows the day you eat that your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, that serpent, Satan, was telling Eve, you know, God doesn't like the competition. So he doesn't want you to jump in there and know the good and evil. And then that scripture says that she looked at the fruit and saw that it was pleasant and one to make one wise, and she not only ate, gave it to her husband. Some people, what, how did that guy do that? I'm telling you, it's another story for another day. Men. But probably some feel that he loved her so much that wherever she was going to go, he'll go with her. Just thought. Just a thought. So we take a look here, pride in our relationship with God. We know that Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says this, and I'll bring up verse 25. says, but because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What do we mean by that? It's amazing how we are always intentionally should focus in on God. But we change things around. We start aiming at worshiping ourselves. The compass always turns toward ourselves. Always. It's like, it doesn't matter if you're sharing testimony. It always comes back as me, 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 me. So it's very challenging. We start saying, hey, it's going to be disruptive in your relationship with God. Because when we focus too much on ourselves, we really start to idolize, and it's all about the importance of who I am. Ainsley and I pastored in Banning, California for 15 years. Right next door to Banning is Morongo Indian Reservation. So I had a number of years ministering on the res or with Indians. One thing about Indians, if they really kind of keep to their culture, they have what's called a totem pole. And a totem pole signals as you go into the reservation or into that home setting what they value. So you'd have a symbol like an owl. You're as wise as a what? Yeah, or brave as a bear. So you'd say, well, these are the values. This group really says is important. Well, who set the standard there for that tribe? They did. Well, if they did, then you could literally say they're worshiping themselves. This is what we believe is true. And that could happen sometimes to people in our setting. This is important to me. Well, why? So we have to be careful about that. It can be a real conflict in our relationship to God. We start to serve ourselves. It's part of that element. So when we take a look today, and the requirement really is humility that we need, really is God. It takes humility to say, I need God. It takes humility to follow Jesus. That's why people cannot sometimes really get into Jesus, because that pride is so strong. Let's take a look at James chapter 3 just for a moment here. We'll put that up there. James 3:15 says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly and unspiritual and demonic. Let's take a look just for a moment here. Because selfishness is naturally pride. Pride is really a preoccupation with self. But the Bible says it really focuses in even on a demonic activity. Now, you know there's something, there is an unseen realm. That's very real. To forget that sets you up for a real collapse. But it's important that we recognize that, see, Satan, he doesn't want you to worship him. I have, Pastor Paul, I'm not worshiping the devil. He does not care about that. He just doesn't want you to worship God. He would love for you to be preoccupied in caring for yourself and following anything and anyone else except God. Now, I really believe Satan has really tripped up the Western Christianity for a while. We're having some real awakenings, though. That lie is that you just give your heart to Jesus and you're good to go for heaven. That's true. I like that. That's true. Receive Jesus and you're good to go. But you don't need to follow Jesus, nor do you have to do anything for Jesus. Now, that's such a... that's really a destructive pattern. Isn't it Jesus say, hey, come, pick up your cross and what? Follow me. And the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. So because we haven't crucified our pride, we really have a relational strife going on sometimes with you and with God. And that's between you and God. But this is a big one when it comes to Christians. Letter B, pride in our relationship with others. How can we effectively love one another if we're too enamored with ourselves? Now, and what is really a key ingredient, how will the world ever know you and I belong to Jesus if we don't love each other? Because he's the one that say, hey, the world will know that you are my followers by your love one for another. So you can see here that pride not only restricts a wonderful relationship with Almighty God, but it causes a real issue in our relationship with people. It's impossible for people to define you and me as a Christian when we do not love the other Christians. So pride may manifest itself in some unique ways. We all have it. We just don't really see it. It's just an element there but it materializes itself in some unusual ways. Let me give you a short list. I'm just going to read a short list. These are ways that self-sabotages behavior with our pride. Pride refuses to learn or to listen to input. Pride hates to be corrected. It can't admit when wrong. It cannot apologize. Pride struggles listening to other opinions. Elevates self over others. Pride can't give others credit. Has to be first. Pride is afraid to be needy. Difficult handing tasks to others. Pride is quite argumentative, critical, and creates conflict. It's always black and white thinking. It's intolerant because they define the truth in the setting. Pride is passive, aggressive. It's manipulative. It's gossip, strife, jealousy. Pride really does divide. And that's just the short list. So you can see here, it's important we get a chance. The manifestation of pride is endless. Far more productive now to go with our message title, Living Beyond Pride. So let's do that. But I need to kind of help us realize that it's just like, well, what's wrong with pride? I don't really think it's all that bad. But it can be left unchecked. So it's important for us. Let's live beyond pride. Do I get anybody say amen? All right. Great. Because we do see that in our society, pride is destroying homes, marriages, churches, communities, and it's a real deal. It's a real thing. Maybe the biggest hurdle some of us may be facing. Biggest hurdle. So number two, taking steps beyond our pride. Here we go. Letter A, see your notes. Admit your struggle with pride. Sounds so simple. But it's not going to be that simple. Sometimes we really don't see it. I'm not hurting anybody. Why would I want to change? I don't. Well, I have blind spots too. I just don't know what they are. If I knew what they are, they'd stop being a blind spot. But I need your help. But I do like the fact, and I'm going to take borrowed wording from the 12 steps using their language. Here it is, their step. We admitted we are powerless over alcohol. And that our lives had become unmanageable. Let's just change the word alcohol to pride. We admit we are powerless over pride. Now, I love you. And even our guests, I love you. Come again, please. Next week will be really good. It'll be very affirming. It's Mother's Day. But we just don't always see how our pride is really infiltrating. Sometimes we really are like an alcoholic. We are a functioning alcoholic. Many people are functionally selfish. And we just say, well, that's just the way Aunt Tallulah is. She's always in herself and always dealing. We just put up with her. She's functioning, though. But for the people of God, I sense God wants to do something different, don't you? So when we take a look here, Psalm 32, verse 2, says, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. There's something refreshing about that. And I find that the person I typically have lied to the most, maybe you found this, the person I lie to the most is myself. Isn't it true? I need somebody to really speak like, that's not the way it is. And don't go there. So, first one, admit your struggle with pride. Two, ask for God's help. That's a big step. Humility to depend upon the Lord. That's how all of us got here in Jesus. We realized, you know, I probably need to start thinking about Jesus and heaven bound. But you can always tell a person by how much they depend on themselves. How, Paul? Well, I'm glad you asked. By how much they pray. Humility leads us to ask God for help. And that's a good thing because there's strength there. We'll get to that. But Psalm 109, verse 26 says, help me, O Lord, my God. Save me because of your unfailing love. And I love that. Boy, God is... He's the true higher power, is he not?
Yes, sir.
Do try to resist the urge to fix yourself. God already knows what we're dealing with, and if we humble it, like, Lord, what is it I'm dealing with? Why can I not get along with people, and why don't people really, when I get close to them, why has it become such a turnoff? Would you help me, O Lord? Letter C, grow in self-awareness. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Grow in self-awareness. Now, I say that because 12 Steps calls this the moral inventory. Where have I or where have you negatively impacted your relationships with God or others? Take a list. You might want to just list that out. Like, Lord, I'm asking you for help now. Yeah, I hate that person, and I'll never give that guy time, and I'd sure like to be closer to that group, but they just seem to not like me, and just get that list going. See what God will show you. So self-aware is going to be very important. I like Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. Jesus said this about our ability to listen to him, and I hope you're able to maybe hear something from him through this simple message. But Matthew 13, 12, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So pride can really blind. I know it has blinded me a number of times. From being self-aware. And that's why I typically now say, Lord, forgive me of my pride. Not even sure if it's manifest, but it's like I don't want that to impede on my time with you. Is there anything I need to address? And that comes then to letter D, confession to God and to others. I'll tell you, nothing drives a stake into the heart of pride. Boom. Like confessing it to God, and worse yet, to others. Oh, man. Ooh. I find it so easy to confess all my wife's sins. It just flows. But it's so difficult, isn't it? I can't even say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Let's do an experiment here. Just turn to somebody and just tell them, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll see if you can do it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Huh? Not so easy, is it? Okay, add to it, then say, I was wrong. Oh, that's a hard one. Like cauliflower lips. Wrong. And now you just turn back to the other, that person you just said that to, just say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Yeah, some of you are thanking me right about now. I know that, sure. Yeah, praise God. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Wow, glory to God. That's one thing I really admired about my time being brought up in the Catholic Church is the confessional booth. When I was honest, it was really healthy. Most of the time, I just did it because it pleased my mom and dad. But there's something that's powerful about confession. And only way healing comes. When you sit down with somebody, that's why we are all about small groups. If you can really start to get transparent, it's scary, but healing is yours. Because you do that in the eyes of God. Check out Psalm 32, verse 5. It says, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt." One of the greatest miracles, and I've seen some good ones, but I think still the greatest miracle is the healing of relationships and the healing that comes to emotions. When a person starts having their emotions whole, you know, mental health is a real issue. It's a real issue. Some of the houseless people out there are just dealing with emotional issues. And so when we deal with the element of just confession, it really brings some great healing. Spend some time with God. Confess your pride to Him. Just try it. He'll probably tell you, just now go to that person. Oh. And see what God does to bring some healing. You may need to go and ask the Lord, who do I need to forgive? Good. But now who do I need to ask for forgiveness? And ask maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a coworker. And then letter E, embrace humility daily. The antidote for pride. Daily taking on that element of coming before the Lord. James chapter 4. I told you we'd get back to James 4. Verse 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And that word grace doesn't just mean, yeah, favor. I mean, there's power in that word. We're charismatic people. That means the gifts of the Spirit, charismata, grace gifts. You want to move beyond yourself, you got to come in there with humility. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He gives grace to the humble. People that think, I don't need the Lord, usually it's more flesh than it is things of God. I always say you can humble yourself under God, humble yourself in His sight, or you go through what I've done through many times, and that's go through the school of humiliation. I get there that way too. Have you? Anybody else gone to the school of humiliation? Yeah, misery loves company. I want, see me afterwards. We'll swap stories. It's terrible. I've moved whole friendships because of humiliation. I realized that was wrong. Humble yourself in the sight of God or go through humiliation. I also liked verse 10. Go down a little bit further. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up in honor. That's a perk. Try that. Watch what God will do. And then I want to make sure He gets all the honor and all the glory. It's kind of like an athlete just won the big win. Well, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's kind of like that. How is it that your life is rocking? You are just like going great. Well, it's Jesus. Yes, sir. He'll honor you. But it's always nice to know I got here because of Him. Yes, sir. And it's good to know. So you say, well, I need to really start humbling myself. Study the life of Jesus. Isn't He our hero? Oh, I just love Him. Because He doesn't change. He's always the same. But we take a look here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Remember how He humbled Himself, took on a human body like you and me. Wow. Became a servant. So let's take a look here. So humility is a choice. And then finally, letter F, put yourself in community. Put yourself into community. It's so nice to be able to feed off of one another. People that walk in humility and gratitude, they'll build you up. You'll say, man, this is the best church ever. Because we know what it is for God to change our life and make us healthy once again. And we know God's no respecter of persons. What He's done for me, He'll do for you, and vice versa. We sure like that. I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, which says basically, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So humility can encourage and build people up. Orientation is outward. We always want to enjoy each other. Let people know that, hey, we like what you're doing. How is it going? It's very, very important. And how are we going to move beyond pride? That's really the message today. Living beyond pride. Don't let those things set you back. There's a big world out there that wants to enjoy you and benefit from you. It's a big deal. And part of those areas is to allow the Lord to have you be the real person and enjoy some great breakthroughs. You'll notice on your bulletin card, I've got humility questions. There's 12 of them. You may want to just spend some time and just get a humility check. Just see if you're landing squarely in the right direction on these questions. So that's going to be for your life group, but we hope that you get a chance and you start to enjoy those areas of just how God's going to really, really make you into that stellar man or woman of God, the way he's made you to be. Well, I want to pray for you right now as we get ready for communion. Father, I want to thank you that you're going to do a great work right now as we prepare our hearts to have communion. And that, Lord, it's a joy for all of us to be here. All of us are here because we believe, Lord, you've summoned us here. Now we need to be reminded, not only did you summon us here, but because of the cross and the power of resurrection, we have real life. So, Lord, thank you for the joy that you're going to give us right now. Great breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Great breakthroughs. Amen. You who are at home, I want to welcome you to get your communion element. For you who are here with us, self-contained little apparatus, let's go ahead and peel back the top layer and let's go for that white wafer. That's a white wafer. We're going to have that first. Jesus was the one that says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take this now attention off of ourselves and on to Jesus. Let's look and focus on what he has done for you personally. Maybe you're here and this could be the first time you've ever had communion. All it requires is that you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By having these communion elements, you're giving testimony that I profess faith in Christ. I need him. Died for my sins. It's going to heal my life and heal my relationships around me. So we lift this portion up. Father, thank you for believing for healing. Begin with us, Lord. Others will benefit because you're going to touch our bodies in Jesus' name. You're going to heal our minds in Jesus' name. You're going to allow relationships to flourish because you're delivering us from our self-focused, self-seeking, very pewy self that people don't even want to be around anymore. Lord, let them see Jesus in us. And let the love of God now come upon each one right now. Love of God. We do not have it in ourselves to love others. Lord, fill us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and participate. Thank you, everyone. Let's go ahead and peel up carefully, exposing the juice. Now, as Jesus had said, this cup is the cup of my blood given for you. Say, well, that means everybody's going to benefit in the world. Well, you must receive that gift. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has a gift. Some people don't give it. They don't want to receive it. But for you and me right now, we want to receive that wonderful benefit of just having God wash us clean of all our sins because of his death on the cross. Anything we feel we've really mucked up, we blew it. We need God to forgive us now. Lord, forgive us. We invite you in our life, in our journey moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and participate right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. How wonderful. That little sip just tastes so good, doesn't it? Well, I just want to invite you now. Let's go out singing, shall we? And just thank the Lord for what he's done. Let's stand to our feet, would you please, and join Sean as he leads us in a closing worship song. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.